Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With us is our good friend, senior columnist for the Boston Globe, Dan Shaughnessy. Dan, good morning.
Hey, DA, how you doing?
Always doing well, especially when you join us here on the show. And let's start with football. There is the conspiracy theorists that say, oh, this is Belichick moving chess pieces around the board. He wants his guys to opt out. He wants to be bad this year because he wants Trevor Lawrence. And your response is?
No, I would never buy into that. I think he likes the challenge of winning without Brady. I think he wants to do it right away. He's still in a, in a division that's not very good. And I think that's the challenge. And he relishes that. Now, you know, losing, you know, Hightower and Chung and the people of the backbone of his defense, that's not good. That just made it really challenging. And assuming that we have football and they carry out a 16-week season, I think that it just got a lot harder for him. And that's not something that he's looking forward to. But, no, I do not believe there's a tank going on here to go for the quarterback. I'm just not seeing it.
You've always written about how ridiculous opposing coaches are when they just melt in front of Belichick, that somehow they just lose their mind and totally melt down. And I was thinking about that when we had that tweet from Adam Schefter go viral where one personnel executive in the NFL said, oh, see, I don't know what the plan is, but Belichick has a plan here. This is all a mastermind. And I'm going, what is he masterminding? These guys don't want to play because of COVID. I don't think there's anything to mastermind right here.
No, that's really a stretch. I mean, losing good players, losing Hightower is not a mastermind plan. So this is not a good thing for him. And they're not deep anymore. And on the offensive side of the ball, I mean, just, you know, losing another tight end guy who's not that good yesterday, it's a setback because they're thin on skill positions over there. They've got a new quarterback, whether it's, you know, Newton or Stidham. They've got a new offensive line coordinator because Skarnecki is gone. So again, a lot and the things that make them better, DA, a lot of years is the padded practices, the preparation, a lot of the stuff that the preseason games, all the stuff that's not happening this year, generally plays to his strengths. And they spend the first 4 weeks of the year kind of figuring it out anyway. They usually lose a couple in the first 4 weeks, and then they're a monster team in the second half. So none of this plays to the favor of what Belichick wants to do. I'm just hoping there's a season. If there is, I find their whole thing much more interesting than it was last year. You knew there was a ceiling with Brady coming back and, you know, the same old, yeah, win the AFC East and, you know, get the home game and get bumped somewhere in the conference. And it happened early this year in their playoff at home. But I'm intrigued to see him actually have to earn first place in the AFC East and devise ways to beat teams without the Brady element and without the aura and Tom's late game magic and all that stuff. So to me, this is a far more interesting Patriots season coming in, and the Newton thing just makes it way better because now this is just a combination that it's hard to kind of wrap your head around it, that quarterback and that coach.
Dan Shaughnessy joins us from the Boston Globe. On a baseball front, we have the Marlins outbreak. Now you have the Cardinals outbreak, and baseball is taking on water. Do you think it looks silly now that baseball tried to hold the season outside of a bubble, or is this just two idiotic teams that got themselves in trouble?
Well, there was no doing a bubble with their sport. You know, the giant fields and 70-member entourages and it's an outdoor game. And you know, it's weird that the outdoor game is the one having the trouble, but, you know, they're traveling. They're staying in hotels. They're in traveling in and out of hot spots. The Red Sox went to Tampa last night after they got swept by the Yankees. So this was bound to happen. And they were not particularly stringent with the protocols. It was kind of, would really rather you didn't do this rather than you can't do this and we'll arrest you if you do, or we'll give you 3 weeks in the cooler if you do. So, yeah, I mean, it was just sort of designed to fail or to have these kind of outbreaks, and Manfred's, you know, full steam ahead, and we're going to plow through, and we'll see where that goes. It is nice to have games on every night. I'm all down with the crowd noise, and it kind of makes me forget. And last night's Red Sox-Yankee game was entertaining. I mean, a lot of home runs, of course, but at least the Sox fought back, and there was some drama to it, and back and forth, lead changes, all that. So I'm for plowing ahead as well, but I'm not a player, and I'm not Eduardo Rodriguez with a heart condition now that could be career-threatening. So, yeah, there's legitimate questions about the wisdom of this thing going on.
How do you view Rob Manfred as a commissioner?
I wish he was better. And, you know, he's a nice guy. He's a smart guy. He's not a dope. And, you know, he was the lieutenant all those years. I thought it was a little bit, it wasn't a nationwide search when Selig finally got out of it. It was just, well, we'll elevate Rob. And he always, you know, struck me, like, one thing about Bud Selig, for all the mockery of Uncle Bud, at least you knew he loved baseball, and he had that. You know, he never would have referred to the trophy as a piece of metal. You know, he's not as much of a kind of a, just a robot, which Rob can project at. And I think that, you know, there are things that I don't necessarily trust or believe a lot of what I hear. You know, I wasn't happy with him when he came here and gave David Ortiz the presidential pardon on the drug test the day Ortiz retired. I thought, who gets that? You know, Sosa and A-Rod, they failed that same test. Manny, and none of them got that. Why this guy? It feels like that they do things for PR purposes and to spin it the way they want and to have people like them the way they want. And it hasn't worked. And not getting along with the Players Association is as old as time. I understand that. I think Tony Clark's in over his head. But, you know, he does work for the owners, Manfred, and there's a lot of personalities there. You know, you're working for Angelos and Reinsdorf and John Henry, and it's quite a collection. So that's not an easy thing to do, and that's who he's trying to please. And they've got trouble ahead. We don't want to go there today, but, I mean, obviously at the end of the CBA in 2021, that's going to be bad.
Well, I want to touch on that for a moment here, because we just talked about this in the last segment. I mean, essentially, Rob Manfred is pointing the finger at the Marlins and Cardinals, at the players, that he told Tony Clark, if you guys don't basically shape up, we're not going to have a season. And he told Carl Ravitch over the weekend that the players need to be better. Quote, the players need to be better. Now, it's not just players testing positive, it's staffers as well. But he has pointed the finger at the players, and we've had these reports that maybe they went out to casinos or went out of the town together, and that's how the Marlins and Cardinals got this. If he's pointing the finger at them, is that just another way to inflame and enrage the association to where this is going to be war against the commissioner and the owners forever?
Absolutely. I mean, this has been coming for a while, that ridiculous labor thing we saw all summer. You could tell in February that they were headed to that, and then, of course, the COVID just underscored the whole problem. But yes, everything you say is true. And I'll tell you one thing, and I don't know, like, your show kind of goes on unchanged and I get to write columns, but there aren't reporters around these teams anymore. Why do you think you don't know what the hell happened with the Marlins or the Cardinals? I mean, in the life before February, you would know a lot more. No one knows anything. And people watch TV and they write what they think. So that's what we're down to. And there's a reason you don't have any information or any leaks, or you're not finding out anything, because nobody is around them anymore. And you get the occasional Zoom, you know, 16 guys on Hollywood Squares asking one guy the same thing. Everybody gets the same answer, and then you have that. But when you pick up, you know, you watch your programming and you watch television, or you pick up a paper or go online, the people that are writing about it, they don't know any more than you do. They're just watching TV. And that's one of the reasons that you don't know who to blame in this thing.
Dan Shaughnessy joins us from the Boston Globe. We saw the passing of John McNamara last week, who's the former manager of the Boston Red Sox, will forever be tied to Game 6 of the 1986 World Series and the collapse and the pass ball, and then ultimately losing in Game 7 against the Mets. And you wrote a piece that I found really interesting about McNamara's life. And he was always tied to, do you take out Roger Clemens at the end of Game 6 of the 86 World Series? McNamara said that Roger asked out. Roger Clemens always denied that. You reached out to Roger for this piece. What do you think is the reality?
Well, both Mac and Roger have been multiple times, told mistruths, things that weren't true. So no one is above doubt here, and it's very hard. I talked to Dwight Evans and Bruce Hurst last week. You're a young guy. This stuff is 34 friggin' years old now. I mean, it's like the Kennedy assassination, and we're still doing it here. And, they did win four World Series, but, the death, it's like when Bill Buckner died, unfortunately, way too young. I mean, this stuff comes back, and it was 68 years and counting when that happened with Boston. And, of course, it was against the Met team that is so interesting and celebrated and so nefarious and all the stuff that went on with the 86 Mets. So, it's a historic, magic bullet theory. And I'll tell you this, if you watch the video, and we've seen a lot of old video during the last 4 months, when you watch Game 6 in 86, Clemens is in the on-deck circle when Greenwell comes up to hit for him. Now, if he's asked out of the game when he came off the mound, he's ahead 3-2, he's got a four-hitter, he's retired five straight Mets, they're going to win the World Series, and he comes off the mound, he has a blister, whatever, and he says, I'm out of here. Why is he in the on-deck circle with his warm-up jacket on? Decoy, I guess? I don't know. But so McNamara, when they lost in the cataclysmic defeat, Schiraldi comes in, spits the bit, and then Stanley comes in, a wild pitch, and Buckner and Mookie Wilson. When the manager is asked after the game, what happened? He said, my pitcher asked out of the game. And Clemens, upon hearing that, had to be restrained in the clubhouse by Bill Fisher and others from going for him. And it has never been resolved since then. And I was harmlessly trying to put together a life and times of John McNamara when I found out he died last week. And his widow called me, and we don't know each other, but I was very hard on him when he left Boston. And she launched into a defense of her husband from that decision from 34 years ago and ripped Roger. And it was an extraordinary day. I wasn't looking for trouble, and it just landed there.
Well, it's what makes Boston so iconic as a sports town is that those ghosts never die. We just keep bringing them up, and they live forever. Were you at Shea Stadium for Game 6?
Of course. Oh my God! Yes, it was. It was Saturday night, and it was the night you turn the clocks back. And Henderson's home run hit the Newsday sign at the stroke of midnight, and the Red Sox had a 5-3 lead in the bottom of the 10th because they lost the one lead 3-2 in the 8th. But then they had a 5-3 lead with two outs and nobody on base. It was over. The World Series was over, and then all the stuff started to happen.
What do you remember from watching it unfold? I mean, you had understood Red Sox pain and the hauntings for so long. What was it like to watch? As you said, it was done. The World Series was won by the Red Sox. And then little by little by little, the floodgates open and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe they just somehow lost this game.
Well, again, we're newspaper and deadlines and giant days of newspapers, which were flush with cash and people read them. And it was important to make that story. And I had a well-crafted column sculpted on Dave Henderson, the statue that we would build to him. He had delivered the playoffs against Anaheim with the home run in the ninth inning with Baylor. And now he'd hit this home run to put him ahead in the 10th inning for the first World Series in 68 years in New York. So he was the column, and it was a beauty, let me tell you. And then, with two outs, nobody on, Carter gets the single, Mitchell gets the single, Knight gets the single, and you're starting to get my attention when that third one, and now it's a one-run game. And then when Stanley comes in, people shrieking all across New England, and you knew only bad things were going to happen, and they did.
I was watching Game 6 during pandemic because it was on and there were no other baseball games on. When it's two outs,
there's no way.
Even when you know the outcome, it feels like there's absolutely no way the Mets can win that baseball game.
Right. It seems when you watch the Super Bowl with the Patriots and the Falcons, it's the same thing. I mean, that game's over like 1,000 times. Kick the field goal. Stop moving backwards, whatever. And in this thing, two outs, nobody on. I think the odds are 273-1. I think we had those calculated. With two outs, nobody aboard, two-run deficit, bottom of the last inning. That's how often you would come back.
And then when you flip forward to 2003 and the Aaron Bleepin' Boone home run, are you at the point where you figure, well, we're never going to see in my lifetime or my career the Red Sox win a World Series?
It was like the same thing because, again, it's late at night. You're in New York. I've got this thing well-crafted. Now they're going to win the American League pennant on Yankee soil. I mean, again, another masterpiece that no one ever saw. And all this stuff starts happening, and I'm really good at flipping it quickly because I have so much practice at it. You know, I mean, so you learn how to just write the greatest moment in New England sports history to, oh, my God, you know, another just epic collapse that they'll be talking about 34 years later when somebody dies, and we are.
Check out Dan Shaughnessy's work at the Boston Globe's website, bostonglobe.com. Also follow him on Twitter at Dan_Shaughnessy. Dan, it's always great to catch up. Always good to hear your voice, man. Thanks so
much.
Yeah,
fun hopping the way back machine here. DA, way to go.
That was good.
See you. Bye-bye.
All right. Dan Shaughnessy joining us this morning on the show. Mraz, sometimes I go, well, boy, you know, it is a very Boston segment when we have on Shaughnessy, but you can go in so many different directions with him. And he's so good and so funny. He always gives us a good laugh.
It's why I have no issue getting Shaughnessy on once a month, sometimes twice a month, seemingly, because I know he's going to deliver. And look, I'm not going to lie. Last week when I saw all the positive baseball tests breaking and baseball powering through, there was only one person on my mind, and it wasn't, you know, any of the analysts who see calling games. I'm like, well, Shaughnessy's going to have something here. And then we go down the road of that. It's great. It can go in a million directions. I love when Shaughnessy's on. And when he just pats himself on his back talking about what a beauty of a column it was going to be in 86, that's Shaughnessy to a T. It was awesome.
What's bugging Dan Shaughnessy regularly here on the DA show? The answer is everything, actually. Everything. When we come back here on the DA show on a Monday morning, we'll read through some of your tweets. Hit me up, DA on CBS. Also, could the NBA be frustrated with Zion's lack of PT? He's going to have another chance tonight against Ja Morant. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.